The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Indeed, and I am Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker this chilly evening. It is, what the heck day is it? December 14th.
The 14th of 2010. And you know, there are some days when you just look at the news around the world and you just want to lift up your voice and say, how long, oh Lord? And today seems to be one of those days.
It is. Well, you know what? I find myself saying that every day anymore. I love being married to you. I do indeed. I love our lives together.
Amen.
But I would love to see Jesus coming back any
That's
day.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
Anytime you know that, now, Lord.
Gosh. Well, yesterday we mentioned a story out of Vacaville, California. It's an area that we talk about a lot, sadly. It's the story, this particular crime was taken place in Vacaville. It was a 14-year-old boy who broke into a home where no parents were home.
Right.
The mom was gone. I don't know where. She didn't get home till 9 in the morning. She may have been at work for all I know. But I did read a story today that the dad found out by driving by. When he was driving by the house, he happened to see all of the people at there. Thought, well, you're just driving by? Weren't pulling in to visit? Weren't planning to knock on the door? Were you just driving by?
Yeah.
Anyway, a 14-year-old boy broke into this home and assaulted a 13-year-old girl who was sleeping with her 18-month-old brother.
Mm-hmm.
He woke her up by stabbing her in the back. That was the first thing that woke her up. And, mm-hmm. and according to the article, he stabbed her 30 times.
Hmm.
And it said in the article, unfortunately, she was sexually assaulted during the stabbing. And I thought, unfortunately,
who wrote
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunate is not a word I would choose to use.
No. But anyway, she was, I'm sorry to say, she was sexually.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. Well, yeah. She just feels not physically strong enough. But, you know, she was awakened in the middle of the night, and she was stabbed before she even had a chance to react because mm-hmm. she was stabbed in the back. That was the first thing she felt. And it also said, the article also said, I should try to find that article so I could read it, but it's one of the many things that I don't have in front of me. But the article said that because the 18-month-old was sleeping next to his older sister, he was also stabbed over 10 times, which I thought was an odd thing to say. Over 10 times? Hmm. Every other article I've read said 10 times,
yeah.
But what's over it? Is that 11?
Is it 18?
It's not 10 and a half.
Yeah. That leaves a pretty wide range. Over 10 could be anything from 10 through infinity, although it implies.
Well, every article I have read said 10.
Yeah.
But the article and every other article I have read said, and the child was also assaulted and stabbed, assaulted and stabbed. Whereas the woman, the 13-year-old girl was assaulted and stabbed. So was this 18-month-old physically, sexually assaulted as well by this 14-year-old boy?
Don't know from the article.
No parents home.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. 13-year-old girl is not old enough to stay home with her 18-month-old boy. I call me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just a little young.
I would agree, especially in this world. And
especially if the parent is going to be gone all night,
not
back till 9 in the morning.
Because you bet that some of her friends at school and knew that she was home alone, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And that just is a recipe for trouble, again, especially in this world. But the thing that's really odd about this is that there are just some aspects of the story that don't make a lot of sense and kind of relate to the stories of the twins Twins Gone Wild that we talked about the other day, which actually would have been a better title for the episode than what I posted, you know, Madness on the Motorway. You know, the twin 40-year-old women who went nuts on the M6 in the UK and the twin 29-year-old women who had the mutual suicide pact in Colorado.
Yes.
Here you've got a 14-year-old boy who comes in and stabs and... there's no description of the stabbing either. You would think that if somebody had purposefully and energetically stabbed another human being 30 times, that
that person would be dead.
Yeah, blood loss alone, which leads one to believe, what was this, an attempt to maim and injure, or was it just an attempt to draw blood with certain, you know, skin deep cuts in?
Well, that's just my question. I said that to you.
Yes.
Because the police would not allow, they would not comment on how, where the stab wounds took place.
Right.
This one article said that he stabbed her in the back, but clearly she turned over at some point and he must have stabbed her elsewhere. But I was wondering if perhaps he was just taking, you know, literally drawing a design.
Yes, in some sort of a ritual fashion. That was, and that's a very good point. And that's not something that comes to mind, and especially if you're not looking for things like this in the news, because the news writer and perhaps the police certainly weren't leading thoughts in that direction. Now, this is just speculation on our part. We don't have any inside information, but the fact that the young girl, thankfully, is alive after being stabbed
30
times.
Oh, praise God she's alive, but what a memory she's going to have to deal with, and the whole trial she's going to have to go through.
Now, the other odd thing about this is that the young boy, the 14-year-old boy who was arrested, was found by police asleep in the home.
And yes, and in fact, the article that I just read a little while ago, and the one that I don't have in front of me, said that the brave young 13-year-old had the wherewithal to get him to go to sleep, convince him to go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And she then called 911. And that is how the police knew that that he was still in the house, and he was asleep when they went into the house and found him. They arrived there in SWAT fashion. I mean, come on, people. There are so many questions about this story.
You know, I'm sorry, but I suppose it's plausible. I suppose if the boy was on some sort of chemical that he might have, you know, fallen asleep after the act. But it seems very strange that...
Well, the boy, like I said, the boy claims that he was tricked by two friends who convinced him to go to this young girl's house. And they were the ones who did all the evil and left him to hold the bag.
Yeah, asleep on the couch. Mm-hmm. Either way, this story sounds really weird. There's got to be more to the story.
I know,
than
and I suspect over the next few days we're going to get more and more.
Right.
Well, you know, stuff gets weirder. Facebook is a great site. I enjoy Facebook. Honestly, Facebook has been wonderful for my family over the last week or so, because if you've been listening to PID, you know this, but if you've not been catching up, let me just tell you that my niece, Kristen, and her husband were in an automobile accident about a week ago. It was last Wednesday, in fact, and they nearly, I mean, this thing, they swerved to miss a dog, hit a car, and Kristen could easily have died. She had
head injuries.
Hit a tree. I said car, didn't I?
Yeah, and I just didn't want
to. I'll come
anything.
In again.
Yeah, no one else was injured in the accident,
I'm
thankfully.
Coming in again. They hit a tree.
Yeah.
Missed the dog. The dog's fine.
Well,
the dog had been lying in the road for some time, according to witnesses. And he said, you know, it's just been lying there, not moving. And along they came. Now, I don't know if the dog was injured, if that's why the dog was lying in the road. But they hit a tree. And she was life flighted immediately from the scene to the nearest trauma center, which was in Louisville, at the University of Louisville. My family, for the most part, live in southern Indiana, and Louisville is the place to go down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have been keeping up on Facebook this week, and her mother, my sister Debbie, has been posting along with her sister, my niece Sarah. They've been keeping us informed as we are spread out across the country and letting us know what's going on. But Facebook can be used for other things.
Well, yeah, it's no obstacle, apparently. I mean, being behind bars is apparently no obstacle to keeping up with your homies.
You would think. Now, come on. If you murder a sheriff in Oklahoma.
Ooh, you that would be, you'd think, a bad place to kill a police officer.
Oklahoma.
Yes.
You would think that when you went to prison that you wouldn't get to do certain things.
Anything.
In other words, isn't prison supposed to be where your freedoms are curtailed?
Yeah. You're punished. I mean, that's the whole point.
Yeah, isn't it?
Paying your debt to society.
No, apparently not in this prison, much to my surprise. If you have your BlackBerry handy.
So let me see if I get this right. If this is where you're going, apparently in Oklahoma, being prevented from accessing Facebook is considered cruel and unusual punishment?
I would bet so.
Oh, my goodness.
According to the 48 Hours mystery site, CBS News reports that a convicted murderer who's locked up for killing an Oklahoma sheriff was caught posting pictures to his Facebook page from inside his prison cell, and the inmate's name is Justin Walker. Apparently, he uses his BlackBerry to upload his photos into Facebook. What's the guy doing with a BlackBerry?
That's a really good question.
I don't have a BlackBerry.
The question then becomes, how many prisoners in various states of incarceration have access to the outside world through cell phones or the BlackBerries or iPhones or what have you?
Exactly.
And, yeah, I mean, it's not new that powerful crime bosses can pull strings from behind prison walls, but you know, this guy doesn't seem to be anyone special, except that he took the life of a fellow human being, and a police officer to boot. And there he is, and not just posting pictures of himself. He's posting a picture in one of the ones that you showed me of himself licking a really nasty looking knife.
Yes.
Why is he doing with a knife in prison? How long, oh Lord? Does this make any sense to you?
I just watched The Illustrated Man the other day, a Ray Bradbury novel, made mm-hmm. a wonderful movie back in the day with Rod Steiger. Mm-hmm. And this guy looks like The Illustrated Man.
He does.
He's got tattoos
except
all over
evil.
Him.
Except more evil.
Oh, yeah. At least The Illustrated Man wasn't licking a shank.
Yeah, Rod Steiger could be menacing. He could really be menacing. But this guy looks just, you know, it's like, I don't want to be in the same state with him. But,
oh, no.
But the point is, you know, if this fella can do it, there are likely others out there who have these devices and who aren't stupid enough to post themselves to Facebook. Because
well,
we suspect that after
well,
CBS.
Well, it gets better.
Oh, it does.
Corrections Department spokesman Jerry Massel says that the officials also found marijuana in Walker's cell.
I am shocked to find gambling going on in this establishment.
And consequently, he is now segregated from the other inmates.
Oh, brother. Now, you know, I would not have expected that story out of Oklahoma. It would have been less surprising coming from someplace like California. But
well, you
either
know,
way, when you've got a convicted murderer behind bars, to find this guy posting photos of himself to Facebook is astonishing.
He pled no contest.
He didn't even try to fight it.
He didn't. Here's the thing. And I'm sorry, I said it wrong. I said Jerry Massel. Those are my eyeglasses. I can't read. It's Jerry Massey. That eye looked like an L to me. Jerry Massey, the spokesman for the corrections department there, said that Massey, he says that they may charge Walker with a felony. You think?
Yeah, yeah.
He's got marijuana in his cell.
And I presume there are regulations inside the prison about convicted murderers having wicked-looking shanks. Is that the proper term or shiv? Shiv is the verb, right?
I don't know. I have no idea. It said shank in the caption.
Okay. Well,
I didn't come up with that on my own. I'm lucky to remember my own name. Are you kidding?
Well, you know, if this isn't disturbing enough, we'll turn our sights overseas to another disturbing story, which I just referenced very briefly in the introduction of the interview with William H. Kennedy on View from the Bunker a couple Fridays ago. One of the things that came out via the WikiLeaks dump about what's going on in Afghanistan brings into the spotlight a private military contractor that has been in the news for a similar event about 10, 15 years ago. And the company is DynCorp, D-Y-N-C-O-R-P, DynCorp. It is revealed through WikiLeaks that this security contractor, which is has been employed by the United States government in not just Iraq and Afghanistan, but also in previous conflicts like Bosnia back in the 90s. The private security contractor has the contract to train the police in Afghanistan. And there it was a cable released by WikiLeaks dated June 24th, 2009, that discussed a meeting between the Interior Minister of Afghanistan, Hanif Atmar, and U.S. Assistant Ambassador Joseph Musumeli. And this cable relates that one of Atmar's main concerns was a party that had been thrown by DynCorp for Afghan police recruits in Kunduz province. The cable
on the Kunduz
says,
regional trade. You have the cable in front of you too.
I don't have the cable in front of me.
I
just have a summary of it.
I have it.
Go ahead and read
on
what
the
it was
Kunduz Regional Training Center, the RTC, DynCorp event of April 11, Reftel. There are so many anagrams in this. Atmar reiterated his insistence that the U.S. try to quash any news article on the incident or circulation of a video connected with it. He continued to predict that publicity, would, quote, endanger lives.
We've heard that.
He disclosed that he has arrested two Afghan police and nine other Afghans as part of an MOI investigation into Afghans who facilitated this crime of, quote, purchasing a service from a child, unquote. There is a tradition in Afghanistan, an underground tradition that involves dancing boys.
Yeah, it's called the English translation of the Afghan term is boy play party or a bacha bazi, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it correctly.
I think it is bacha bazi.
Bacha bazi. The Taliban actually banned this type of event, but a bacha bazi is a tradition in which these boys, aged 8 to 15, are trained in the art of seductive dance. They are decorated with makeup. The bells are tied to their feet. They're put into scanty women's clothing. And then they dance in front of leering older men. I mean, this is really disturbing. And then after the show is over, that's not the disturbing part. Their services are auctioned off to the high bidders. Who sometimes will just buy a boy outright.
Exactly. These boys are purchased when they're, as you say, 8 to 15, 8 to 13, from their families. The families receive a lot of money. And then the boy, there's a frontline video that you can watch in its entirety.
Frontline being the PBS investigative program.
You can watch that at YouTube, and we'll link to that video. There's a teaser at the HoustonPress.com site. But we will link to the YouTube video, and I hope they keep it up there. I hope Frontline doesn't pull it down. It is so disturbing. It's about an investigation into this by UNICEF and also an interior investigation into this by a woman who was trying to put a stop to it. This is – it's the kind of thing – it connects in a way to the many stories, sadly many, that we have talked about out of California. There are ritualistic – behaviors that go way up the chain to wealthy, powerful men and sometimes women. In this case, they're all men. And in fact, in the video from Frontline, you see one of these parties that's actually part of a wedding celebration, only it's all the men.
And again, if you think
and there are two police people there, known to be part of the police. They're supposed to be investigating this.
So, and again, if you think we're trying to make something out of just a quaint
tribal dance.
No, the State Department, United States State Department puts it very bluntly, calls this, quote, a widespread, culturally accepted form of male rape, end mm-hmm. quote. Bacha Bazi, you know, these Bacha boys are essentially boys for hire, rape
and,
boys.
And part of this video, Derek, oh my goodness, you haven't seen it yet. But
I have
this,
not.
It shows a young boy who's probably, you know, 9 or 10 at the oldest. And he has just recently begun his
career,
mm-hmm. his lessons. And you can see the guy who's his pimp. And he's taken him to this musician mm-hmm. that you see in some of the other videos, the musician who attends these parties and plays for these boys. He is there to teach the boy to sing and to play the instrument. And later on, he will go to another person who teaches this boy to dance. He is well-fed. He is clothed. He is kept as happy as possible, so he will not run away probably until he's thoroughly trained. And you can see the look on the boy's face. He has no idea.
What's coming. Yeah. Well, and again, bear in mind that this military contractor, DynCorp, which takes in about $2 billion a year, and according to sources, about 95% of that money is American taxpayer
money.
Those
are government contracts.
Your dollars and mine that are going to pay for these guys to get involved in this trade in Afghanistan back in the late 1990s when the U.S. was engaged in more nation building in Bosnia. DynCorp fired a couple of employees who ratted out a sex ring that was taking place in Bosnia. Eastern European women, many of them young, coming from poor nations like Moldova and Ukraine and Bosnia itself.
And Ukraine, where our friends are going to be rescuing, thank
yes.
the Lord, rescuing three of the children who honestly, in a few years, they would have hit the street
mm-hmm.
or hit the commodities, the underground commodities market.
Yeah. It's very disturbing. And in fact, the two employees who ratted out their colleagues in DynCorp, one was a UK citizen, and the second was a former helicopter mechanic named Ben Johnston. Both had their cases settled by DynCorp out of court just before they were to go to trial. And both, you know, the details of the settlement, as they usually are in these cases, was kept secret. But both employees said that they considered it victories. But so, again, this is American taxpayer money, you know, in what we consider or would like to consider, which many still insist is a Christian nation, $2 billion a year going to this company whose employees apparently have no qualms about smashing any standard of morals or ethics if it gets them in good with the locals, whether it's dealing in the sex trade or you know, whatever else. But again, the most recent example coming out of Afghanistan now is this these Bacha boy parties. And the main concern by the interior minister of Afghanistan was not so much that it's going on, but that the Americans back home would find out about it, which would endanger lives
mm-hmm.
or possibly cost me my job. This is just one of those things that makes you say, how long, oh Lord?
Amen. And this has been going on in Afghanistan for a long, long time. And don't think Afghanistan is any different. It's probably going on in every country on this earth.
And the reason I made mention of this before talking with William H. Kennedy was to make that point as we began, you know, before we got into our discussion of the Franklin Credit Union scandal and the Finders scandal and other the Dutroux sex ring out of Belgium and others, you know, around the world. This is just one more place where this is going on. Kids in many places in the world are commodities. Parents, love your children and protect them.
Amen to that, honey. Where do you go after that? Well, speaking of Ukraine, this is a total left turn. Did you know that Chernobyl is going to be open for tourism?
Come see the three-eyed fish.
It's Mr. Burns' idea. He thought it'd be a great
yeah,
way
excellent.
To put Oh, gosh. This news out of Kiev. Want a better understanding of the world's worst nuclear disaster? Well, come tour the Chernobyl nuclear power plant beginning next year. Ukraine plans to open up the sealed zone around the Chernobyl reactor to visitors who wish to learn more about the tragedy that occurred nearly a quarter of a century ago. I'm wondering if the half-life of all of that radiation is enough that it's safe to go in there.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to sign up for that tour. Looking further east, we get news from ABC reporting today that Russia has announced that its armed forces in the east are on high alert because of increased tensions between the two Koreas, North and South.
You know, that's a little boiler pot over there. I think, you know, it's the kind of thing that you – that whole notion of being on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
I think Korea's been on the back burner for a long time, and sadly, I think it's about to boil over.
Yeah, they keep – you know, the war has never been officially ended. As far as I know, I think the Korean War is still officially on between the two Koreas. I don't think they've ever –
Was it just an armistice that was signed?
I think so.
Wasn't Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Harry Morgan played Henry Potter.
That's right, right.
I'll just go downstairs and I'll drink some tea.
Yeah, technically, the Korean War between the two nations is still on. It's just at a stalemate. It's not a shooting war, although they've been... Like that episode of The Simpsons where Bart and Lisa say, I'm just going to keep swinging my arms here back and forth. And if you just happen to walk into my fist while it's swinging around, well, that's not my fault. That seems to be sort of what's going on with their military exercises, their artillery exercises back and forth right now.
Hey, I heard you say today at lunchtime that see something, say something.
Yeah.
See and say is going to spread like wildfire through this nation.
Janet Napolitano is trying to get a lot of other businesses signed up in states. Apparently, the state of Tennessee has signed on. Now, you know, I was not clear on this concept when we talked about this yesterday that Walmart is getting that $13 million to run those ads.
Yes.
Yeah. 13. And that's another, you know, more of our tax money going to Walmart so they can propagandize us at the checkout.
Yes.
Well, give us $13 million. We'll tell people this.
No, we won't.
No, that's true.
No, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do it for $13 million.
No.
$13.5. No, we wouldn't do it for $13
million. This really is outrageous. But they've got other people that they're looking to sign in, other companies that they want to bring in on this ad campaign. And the thing that's astonishing is, why do they even need to do that? Why can't they just go to, you know, say Clear Channel or Cumulus, one of these groups that owns 1,400 or 1,500 radio stations, say, look, license renewal time is coming. If you know what's good for you, you'll run these public service announcements instead of spending $13 million.
Here's an example of see something, say something. I'm sorry I don't have the article in front of me, but I just read a few minutes ago about a gentleman who was killed by the police. Two shots to the chest because a neighbor thought he was holding a gun in the front yard. He was holding a hose nozzle.
Oh, boy. Drop it. I can't. The azaleas.
Yeah, it was pretty much that. He'd had a few things
terrible.
To drink, and he apparently had a habit of going over to this home and sitting down when he had too much to drink, because this was a friend who would take him in when he had, and all the neighbors knew it except for the brand new neighbor who saw something and said something.
Well, you know, I mean, what do you say? I mean, we're being encouraged to turn friends and neighbors, family members in.
And what is the next thing? Well, you know, some of those Bible studies.
Mm-hmm. Those people are preaching.
They're planning something.
Yeah.
A lot of cars over at that house.
Yeah. Every Tuesday night. What are they doing over there?
Yeah. They carry these books in with them.
Yeah. Might be books. All we know is that you could probably hide something in those cases.
Yeah. That's what we think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, too bad the Federal Aviation Administration isn't keeping its eyes open. According to the Associated Press, the FAA has managed to lose track of 119,000 aircraft in the United States. That's one-third of the total number of private and commercial airplanes.
I saw that article the other day, and here's the kicker. The owners have to re-register.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've stolen that plane, you get to call in and say, well, I got this plane here. It's got the tail number, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And my name is John Smith.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I live here.
Mm-hmm.
Anytown, yeah. USA.
And you know, of course, we're being made to go through all these backscatter X-ray devices at airports, and the FAA only knows who owns 2/3 of the airplanes that are actually in the sky at any time.
It's gonna backfire on the FAA. I mean, let's face it, we go through those backscatter X-ray things often enough that eventually somebody's just gonna have their DNA tweaked too much, and will turn into Godzilla before their very eyes.
Either that, or they just won't know. I mean, those planes will just glow from the people inside. Oh, what a world! What a world! Quickly, Lord Jesus. We'll keep our eyes on the skies and our feet on the ground until tomorrow, God willing. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.